Hey, my daughter started high school yesterday, first day, year 7.
Oh, it's a big day.
Form 1. Oh, she loved it. High school is so different from when we started because she was asking me about my first day. And, of course, she said, like, everyone's really friendly. And at lunchtime, there was a girl handing out chocolates. Cool. She's like, what happened in your first day? Well, you know, 1977, I started high school. Mm. Lunchtime, my first day, my brother's friends picked me up, right? Because my brother was tough. One of my brothers.
Put your head down the toilet?
Yeah, held my head over the toilet for the royal flush. So, you know where they hold you horizontally over the toilet with your head in the bowl.
Yep.
And they just and one of them's got his finger on the button. And then my brother walks in, like, almost swinging a chain. And he just sort of, he leans on the door and they're like, should we do it, O's? That was his nickname, O's. Should we do it, O's?
This is your, in front of you, so it's happening in front of your brother.
Well, he'd organised it.
I thought he was going to come and save the day.
No, should we do it, O's? And he just goes, oh, nah, mum will get the shits. All right, drop him. And they just dropped me.
Because the idea is that you put your head in the flushing of water.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is like waterboarding in its own way.
Yeah, they're all flush.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. I remember the pole, another great torture method from school, where they pick you up and they spread your, only for boys, they pull your legs apart and then have a pole, like a pole from one of the buildings, in the middle and pull your legs against the pole.
I remember Cherry Belly.
Oh, I didn't have that one.
That was just where they pulled your shirt up and then a whole lot of people sort of whack you on the back of their hands and then.
What about where you're locked inside a locker and push down the oval, the side of the oval?
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, I know. I was telling my daughter about how locked in a locker and then pushed down the side of the oval, bang, bang, bang. So it was a locker you could fit in.
Yeah.
And then some kid would come and, you know, wee on it or something like that. My daughter's like, I didn't know that happened to you. So I know I was doing the weeing. It wasn't me in the locker. But anyway.
Dacking?
Dacking.
And what about the guy squats down behind you and you push the guy? And you...
Oh, over the, yeah. Oh,
shocking.
Yeah, hopefully none of that stuff goes on.
The worst one I had was the matchbox, which was two matches. You held on to the red ends against the igniting stuff.
Yeah.
And then the guy goes, just bang it really hard. It's really cool what happens. Oh, I did third degree burns.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you make matchbox bombs? Remember matchbox bombs? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So you pull the scrapey thing off and put it inside the matches. I don't know. I hope Isis aren't listening. How about Kyder aren't listening for a bit of a tutorial on bomb making?
No, but
you'd pull off the stuff you scratch against, put it at the top of the redhead matches, then just sticky tape the whole thing around it. So then you throw it on the ground, it would all ignite and go bang, matchbox bomb.
Did you ever sit on a drawing pin?
Oh.
How painful was that? Because it went into your thigh, and it was a really quite a broad piece of metal. Anyway, this guy
ever get stung by a compass?
No, hang on. Before we go back.
Before the compass.
Before the compass, someone put a drawing pin on my seat, and I came back to my seat, sat down, no reaction. Why?
Did it go down the gap?
Yes. Oh. It was a bullseye.
In the crack.
And everyone's going, what is it with you? I said, what? You just sat on a drawing pin.
Oh.
So lucky. I mean, what are the chances of that?
What are the chances? That's never happened to me.
Yeah. Compass? Compass.
Compass.
Where did you have fights at your school?
In the park. After school. They were big. And there's going to be a fight in the park after school.
And how long would it... Scary. There'd be things.
Oh, they're horrible. But the whole horrible. School would be there. And then there'd be two guys punching on. Then the teacher would jump the fence and cable or just run, you know.
And fight, look, fight. How did we turn out? Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Oh, Dad, we've got to mention the survey for people listening. Oh, there comes the music.
Hello and welcome to Somehow Related. And now please welcome your hosts, Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
So we are welcome to the podcast. Before we get started, we've got to talk about this survey that Neely are doing. Go to neely.com.au/survey. Check it out. There will also be a link on the Somehow Related Facebook page. Actually, that's a good tip. Go to the Somehow Related Facebook page if you're on Facebook. Join and get involved.
What's the point of the survey? What does that do?
Just to find out. You know, we're going to sell it to the Nigerians, you know, so we can hit them up. You know,
Somehow Related. Apparently, I'm sure they're copying the show all around the world.
Probably.
Because we go all around the world.
North Korea. It'd
be nice to get a...
We'll get a map next time because... Courtney, one of the producers, has shown me a map, and we've got like one or two listeners in, there's a few in America, but there's also some weird ones like Africa and stuff like that.
In America. I'm on American Netflix.
Oh, up in Wagon.
Catherine Kim, yeah. Oh. So if you are listening in the US and you've got Netflix.
Check it out.
Oh, that was a bit
check
of
it out. Oh, look, play. Sam's going to show us the map. Oh. So it's the majority are in Australia. Oh, there's 101 listeners in
the US.
There's thousands of Australia. Germany, 43. Schlaf gut. Sprechen Sie Deutsch.
Wunderbar. Thailand.
42. Hello.
Oh, hello. We just have to make note of the people that we actually maybe Canada? Say inappropriate things about. So there's all the people like we can't say things.
11 people in Croatia. Wow.
So who can we make fun of and not get into trouble?
Oh, the Serbs.
Maybe some people down in Antarctica or something.
All right, we should get our topics. What, Sam, enough of your demographics, what are the topics?
Stonehenge and BBQs.
You know, I talk about, I don't want to say it again. Yeah, but have you been to Stonehenge? I know you've been to Geelong. You said that last time.
And Bendigo. I haven't been to Stonehenge. And I've got
to
say.
Been to England.
Have you got an anti-bucket list? I reckon Stonehenge would be on top of
no.
What are you saying is good?
It's great. I mean, I.
Is it in the middle of a roundabout?
Yes, almost.
Come on.
It's on the Arc de Triomphe. That's in the middle of a roundabout.
It's on the Arc de Triomphe, is it? Yeah, yes, it is.
The first time I went to Stonehenge, we were driving along. This is years ago.
You've been there twice. I've
been there twice. I love those.
What, was it any different the second time?
Yeah, they changed a few of the rocks around. Paint job. The position. They made it. The first time we're driving along a freeway, coming up to another freeway. So it's like, say, when the for Melbourne people, the Monash meets the Eastern, or for Sydney people, when the M3.
So the council's had a meeting and gone, yeah. Shit.
And in the middle of these two freeways meeting, there's Stonehenge. And it's amazing. When you see it, it is very impressive.
Have it in the middle of a field on top of a hill.
It is now. They've changed one of the freeways. They've moved one of the freeways. Yeah, I've been back since.
And how close can you get to it?
Well, the first time, okay, so it's sort of twilight and we pull up and I get out and there's just like a wire mesh fence around it.
He stepped over.
And so I'll go and hang off it. No, it's about 6 foot. I could have climbed it. And then
how high is it off the, how tall is Stonehenge?
Oh, 12 feet probably, at least.
Yep.
And anyway, so I go and look in this fence, and then this cop comes out of a little box like a TARDIS, like a security guard. I go, "Hey, can I help you?" I said, "Oh, we're from Australia." Oh, always a good opener.
Dave and Al. Oh,
no, he didn't big know fan. Me. No, and he goes, "I go, what are you doing here?" He goes, "Mate, I'm." He goes, "This is Stonehenge." He goes, "You will not believe the amount of nutbags that jump that fence to take their clothes off, or you know,
nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that." And he said, "A full moon is when it gets really bad, like they all turn up." And want to get involved.
So have you looked into, given you've been there twice, have you looked into the history of it?
Yeah.
How did they do it? They don't know how they did it, do they?
They dragged it on logs, I think, with horses.
The old thing where you
slaves.
You put getting the rock on, like roly-poly, rolling down the thing.
Yeah, and it was the quarries nearby, and not that nearby.
And it has a bit of it fallen over. Is it like the 12 apostles? Is it? Bits of it have sort of fallen off,
but now that they're really conserving it, I suppose. So now you have to go to the centre, and then you get a bus with other tourists, and you get off and you can walk around it, and it's beautiful. You walk around it, and it is really amazing.
So what area would it be? An acre? 2 acres?
Well, the whole Stone Age thing is a few acres, because there's other sites on there as well. There's a mound where the burial mounds.
But some high traffic areas, though.
Yeah. Yeah,
so it's a bit weird.
In the south of England. Yeah, but it's still country. It's rural. What is funny about all those, and there's another one there called Avesbury near there, which is a stone circle throughout the village, and you just walk around the village, and there's another one. Big blocks of rock are just sitting there. It's incredible.
And you just look at them.
Oh, they're amazing, though. I find them really interesting. But what's interesting is that they employ all the locals. To work in the canteen, to do the tours, to do security. And so you'll be looking at this amazing prehistoric or whatever site, and then you'll just hear, "Tracy, what time are you knocking off, love?"
Yeah, hello, darling.
4:30. Do you hear about Keith? Well, what happened to Keith?
Did you get a T-shirt? I walked around Stonehenge.
No, I got a mug.
You got a mug.
And my wife got a mug. And I've also been in Newgrange in Ireland, which is another very prehistoric.
You should have a slide night at your house one night.
Would you come over?
Yeah. Have you got a photo of all this stuff?
Yeah, I've got photos.
Eyes on your phone. Okay, so they don't know why they built it, though. Is it something astrological?
Yeah.
So you reckon it's lining up with the planets somehow?
It does, apparently.
Do you reckon it's talking to the aliens?
Maybe. It's to do with the winter solstices. When on the longest day or the shortest day, the sun shines through a certain way. Like Newgrange in Ireland, it's all to do with the sun. And so there would have been stuff sacrificed. There would have been a few goats or humans or something happening there, I reckon.
That's interesting because the other topic's barbecue.
Yeah. So I assume that it's some sort of – it had a lot of religious, spiritual significance. Because also – and then groups claim it, like the Druids claimed it, but they didn't set it up. They didn't build it.
I saw a UFO once.
Oh, yeah. You saw lights, didn't you?
Saw lights in the sky. I wasn't – was no drugs involved.
How many drinks? Yeah.
No, I just saw some lights come down. I thought it was a satellite. Then they went across the sky so fast – and then they started drawing squares in the sky.
Wow.
Planes don't draw squares. And then they flew off like faster than anything I've ever seen.
And you rang someone, didn't you? Did you ring them?
I rang because it was near Lara Air. I thought it might have been because the next day they were doing an air show. And I thought
it could have been the roulettes.
It could have been the roulettes. I said, they said, you don't rehearse at night.
Yeah.
I've been changed ever since. And I think they've. And I remember they came into my bedroom one night.
Probed.
They probed me. I love those probe stories. So I always go, came into my room, took me up into the thing, probed me naked, and then they put me right back into bed, which was nice of them. maybe, Dickie, you just had a dream. No.
I think it's like when you were a kid, your mum used to look for worms with a torch. Remember that? That she'd do it at night? That's what's happened to all these people. Mum's coming with a torch.
So Stonehenge, recommend it. It's on your must-do list.
I've never been to the pyramids. Are you in the pyramids?
No, and from what I'm told, it's quite dangerous and very dirty.
Yeah, well, yeah, but they'd still be amazing.
They would be, I guess.
Have you been to an Aztec, any of those ruins? Or
I've done a few castles in Scotland.
Yeah, they're amazing.
Amazing.
Been to Crown Castle in Ballarat?
No. Yeah. I reckon you have. Bastard.
Yeah, I'll reckon, be there.
Because you're a big one for
Sovereign Hill.
Sovereign Hill.
That's our very own Stonehenge.
Yeah. So, Stonehenge.
Barbecues.
Oh,
I love barbecues, but I've got a bad history with barbecues. I remember, so when I got my first house, my mate Tony, who's very handy, goes, you got to get a barbecue. We both just had small children. Because there's a barbecue shop in the showgrounds. We'll go get one from there. And so we go along. And
Literally.
In the showgrounds.
It wasn't like a show.
It was a permanent stall in the showgrounds.
Oh, okay.
So we go there, and I pick what I think is the best one. And he goes, I'll help you set it up because he's very handy. I reckon we took about 3 hours. Then he just goes, I got to go, seriously.
Yeah.
And it was never really. And so then I had it in the backyard. And it was good for a while, but it had too much stuff going on. You know what
it was 10 minutes. Yeah. It's like you're on a
Star Trek console.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so in the end, I stopped using it and it started to fall to disrepair. And I had a gardener, Trev, who used to run comedy at the ESPY. Trev.
Oh, yeah. I remember Trev.
Yeah. He started doing gardening and he goes, Do you want that barbecue? I'm like, nah, you keep it. I don't want it. If you can take it away, because it was a big, huge, 6 foot looking thing.
Yeah.
He took it away. Then my mother-in-law, about a year later, was up in the Macedon Ranges, and she started talking to this guy who was living in Harold Robbins or Arthur Robbins, some famous artist residence.
That's my father's name.
Oh, really?
Arthur Robbins.
That's where we got Uncle Arthur from.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
Well, not with us anymore, so you can only show me with a sign. Yes. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. It's made it really hot in here, which it is. Anyway, and so then Betty, he goes, oh, they worked out that they knew me. Come for a tour of this artist's house, and Betty goes, oh, I saw your barbecue in the backyard. It's working very well. So he'd taken this barbecue up to this historical house, and it's still there to this day working.
So it would have been like an 8-burner or something. Or
yeah.
And it would have had a grilled area or a flat pan area. Would have had somewhere for your alcohol. Probably had a portable television.
Things on the side.
Yeah, like wing, like it could take off.
And it was silver.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's gone to a better home.
Did you ever use it?
Yeah, we used it a few times.
You would have felt pretty good in front of it, though. Did you wear an apron?
Yeah.
And did you have a set of tools that you...
Yeah, tongs.
Yeah. And what would be your, best dish?
You know, I didn't know anything about barbecuing. Sausages, probably. So I put potatoes on there. Oh, it took so long. Like, potatoes.
Seriously?
Potatoes. Well, I don't know what
I thought you knew about.
No. My dad barbecues still.
But potatoes in some oil on the pan, on the thing.
Have you got a barbecue?
Yeah, but same as you. I've never used it. I used it once, and now the trees have grown over it, and it'll probably catch on fire. So, no.
Then we went to Barbecues Galore a few years ago and I just want the basic Bunnings one, but a little version. And that was good for a while. Then it all rusted over. And
yeah, you've got to keep on. Yeah. You know, there's Jim's barbecue cleaning.
Oh, is it?
what can I clean that nobody else is cleaning? Barbecues.
You must just sit around and just, you know, brainstorm other things to clean and do. What else can I do?
Yeah, because I've seen Jim's computer.
Oh, pool cleaning.
Yeah.
Accounts.
Tree lopping.
He does everything, that Jim guy.
Could probably maybe bump people off or something.
Jim's. Assassinations. Well,
So you reckon?
But I love barbecues. I was just down at staying at Lawn, and they had a barbecue. There's a beach resort and in Victoria, and they had a barbecue which I used twice
because it's a communal area. Whether it be in it's a very much where all the guys get together, have a beer. They take down their little plates
of meat,
put it on the side, onions. And then you look for a little bit of real estate on the pan.
Yeah,
and you don't want to mix up your sausages with my sausages.
No.
And then you start to, and then you sort of show off a bit. You show off a bit. You go, look at me. Look at me. I'm turning. And then. And
also, there's always someone with more exotic food than you.
Oh, Shazlicks.
They've got the Shazlicks and the marinade going on.
Yeah, and then. It's.
At Lawn, for example, there's four barbecues. One guy was using one for his meat. His other one, he had all these vegetables on. So, mate, just one each, buddy.
Yeah. Come on.
I remember one of my friends said, you know, not to mention Geelong again, but I am. People always used to talk about how the barbecues were so clean along the foreshore. And one day he was going for a run very early in the morning. There were rats up there eating off the barbecue. Gee, those rat cleaners are good.
My main memory of barbecues was we would go at the back of Aries Inlet, which is a coastal town down here in Victoria, and we'd have one in the national park.
Oh, beautiful.
Beautiful.
Were you set up yourself? Or?
Well, there'd be a bit of a place where a pit sort of thing with... Because now they probably have where you just go up and you whack 20 cents in.
Or they're free. Some of them
or they're free. You just pump it and the council says, I'll give you some gas.
Hey, well, here's a tip though. You got to keep pushing the button though because sometimes they just run out. And some of the ones near us in the parks near us where I live are so slow and...
Yeah, and you're just pumping that button.
Useless.
Yeah, and they were sort of... They just warm the food.
Yeah.
Useless. Everyone's standing around. How's the meat going? Ooh.
Oh, sausages do take a while. So
sausages... My dad used to boil them first.
Oh, that's not a bad idea. My dad always undercooks the sausages.
I used to eat raw sausages when I was a kid.
Oh, we have to take... Really?
I used to love them.
Oh, my God.
It has to be bad for you. Surely you're cooking something. So there's something in... Mum would buy an extra sausage.
So you'd have a raw one.
Raw. When I'd eat it like...
A little Glenny. Have your raw sausage.
Probably if I had one now, I'd probably give it a crack.
Would you? Oh, I'd be worried about food poisoning. Oh.
Well, I never got food poisoning. But it was like one of those things, those icy pole things you have in your fridge. Yeah. Yeah, it was just like sucking on one of those.
Yeah. Yeah, my kids still have.
Just realised.
The soup. I think how that looked.
How it looked. The meat.
Raw sausage. Well,
sitting in front of the telly and after school with the raw sausage in his mouth. And I'll admit that this is juvenile. Okay, I'm admitting it right now. You don't have to ridicule me for it. Right. But you know how sometimes there is there's a few sausages left.
Mm-hmm.
A few. They're okay, but no one feels like any more sausages.
Yeah, no.
Our favourite trick was if there was a dog at the barbecue, you would stand there with the sausage.
In your pants.
Yes, and stand around chatting. Then the dog would come over and...
And bite it out.
Oh, my father...
dangerous.
The late Arthur Robbins would fall off his chair with laughter. Not dangerous because it wasn't... It was just a sausage poking at...
Clean fun.
Bit of clean fun.
Did your dad do it or did he rely on one of the sons?
Oh, no,
the
we didn't. We did that. We did it right in front of dad just to make him laugh.
Yeah. It's always good making your dad laugh.
Yeah. You'd have a couple of drinks after dinner, red wine usually, in one of those
casks?
Decanters things. Probably was a cask. Mm. And then he'd fall asleep in front of the telly. Then we'd connect fishing wire to lights to some of the furniture. We'd just wake him up just a little bit. And then as he was waking up, we'd make the furniture sort of move towards him. And you sort of go, what the fuck? He seems to close eyes, shake his head and go, you're right, Dad? Yeah, all right.
That's all the furniture,
man. So, barbecues.
And Stonehenge. Oh, man, I don't know.
Well, maybe, here's something. Mm. Is there anything about it being a sacrificial site or anything? Burning witches. Didn't they burn witches in the UK?
Yeah, they burned witches at one point. I know that's more American, but is I reckon it? Yeah, that was Salem. Remember the witch trials? And
yeah.
You went there? Which I wasn't there either.
That'd be a good TV series. Salem's Lot. What was that? Is that?
Yeah, that's a Stephen King thing. I think written it off is. The Salem's always had that mystical thing about it, hasn't it? The witchy kind of thing.
But you've got barbecues and you've got some old stony place.
Stonehenge and barbecues. Yeah, the connection. I can't see the connection, actually.
But when you think about Stonehenge itself, if you put a bit of iron over the top of it.
Be a good Barbie.
It'd be a big Barbie.
Be a huge Barbie.
Imagine that.
All right, well, I think I've come up with the idea.
I've got some...
what music? Good,
can we hear... Remember in Griswold's when they went to the UK? They went
European vacation.
They went to Stonehenge.
Oh.
And then, what's his name? Who's the star of that?
Chevy Chase.
And they parked the car up. It's a classic Russell Coit, actually. He parks the car. Then he stands next to the car and makes a classic speech about this sacred land and everything.
Yeah.
And then he backs into it.
And it falls over like dominoes.
It goes like dominoes. Can we hear that?
A thing of glory for a million future generations to see. And we were here.
Google it though, it's hilarious. So Stonehenge falls over like dominoes.
Like dominoes, yeah, very funny.
He's very funny, Chevy Chase. Apparently a difficult man.
Really?
Oh, yeah, that's Chevy Chase, yeah.
Hard work, but geez, he did that level of that.
So funny.
Yeah, that supercilious, you know. You taking drugs, son? Yes, Dad. Good boy.
Yeah. Funny.
Very funny.
All right, I've got an idea.
Oh, we haven't said the ideas yet, have we? Okay.
I reckon that... This is going off on one of the other ones that we've done before.
Yep.
And that Puffing Billy was the name of the first vacuum cleaner. I reckon Stonehenge was the name of the first ever barbecue. Nailed it.
Oh, that's good. Because I reckon it was a communal fire pit in the middle, and they would barbecue. They'd sacrifice people.
Oh, so it's like okay.
Yeah, it was bring out your dead.
First ever barbecue.
Yeah, some sort
human
of
barbecue.
Human barbecue.
All right, well, I don't know. Sam, what is...
Bring out your dead, I reckon. That's, you know,
bring out your dead.
Yeah.
Stonehenge was a very popular barbecue spot for its creators. The Neolithic people who built Stonehenge loved to cook meat on primitive BBQs. Analysis of clay pots found in the area surrounding Stonehenge shows they love roasting pork and beef. More information is in the show notes.
I've been to Stonehenge twice, and I've never seen those barbecues. That's so amazing. I like the second notion that people, it was a barbecue area, so people went there, and Stonehenge was like a, you know, like a park, a national park, like we go, like you would go.
Yeah.
What are we doing on Saturday? Oh, we'll go up to Stonehenge, have a barbecue.
I know, because we've got the Psalter happening. And what do? We take up some mode and some salad, and we'll play a bit of what, indoor-outdoor cricket? Yeah. Because we've probably had cricket. What period? What is it?
Oh, it's a long time ago. That's all I can tell you. It's before
2020 cricket.
Yeah, before 2020 cricket. Right. Before rugby, before soccer, they would have had some kind of game. Chase the bison.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they don't really know, but they know it's old.
It sounds like an area of celebration.
Or the other option is that it was an area of sacrifice, and you know.
A lot I like to think of it. They were probably just cooking up their equivalent of a few sausages on the barbie.
Yeah.
And a bit of a lamb chop.
You know what it's like when they have a grand final at the MCG? People turn up and they have barbecues in the car park.
Yeah.
Or the Melbourne Cup. It's exactly like, it's like that. There was obviously some, probably a human sacrifice, sure. But like executions, draws a lot of people, turn up.
They used to draw a lot of people. Imagine that.
It was an event. Hang on, Sam's got some information.
Construction of Stonehenge began around 3,000 years before Christ.
Wow. 3001 before Christ.
Before Christ.
Before Jesus walked the earth.
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
So 3,000 years before Christ.
That's a long time ago. Just putting it out there.
That's true. So the football clubs wouldn't have existed.
No, no soccer, no rugby.
They wouldn't have had. No, they couldn't have done like a.
Well, no hockey.
What they could have done is do the equivalent of like. Remember how they had their vans turning up now?
Yeah. Oh, food vans. Food trucks.
Be a great spot for a food truck thing.
Oh, yeah.
A food chariot thing.
Chariots.
Put your food on your chariot. Because they have chariots in, wouldn't they, 3000 BC?
Yeah, the Romans were after that. But yeah, we'll go with it. They had some sort of thing. They had some sort of carriage. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway. Wow,
that's amazing. Tell you what.
That's all I've got to tell you about that. But I look forward to your stories into the future of where you've been. I can't wait
to
talk.
Ask me a country and I'll tell you where I've been there and I'll tell you something
about Thailand.
Yeah, I went to Bangkok. I'm not a huge rat for Thailand. It's all right. You know what? Interesting fact about Thailand. Never been colonized. There we go. Take that home.
Northern Ireland.
Yeah, I've been there. I got the runs in Belfast and had to run down the street when the Troubles were in ceasefire, though, thank God.
I
had to go to a hospital there, and they asked me to tell them a joke. I got some sort of stomach. Anyway, I had to go to the hospital in Belfast, right?
Gee.
And the guy goes, what do you do for a job then? I said, they're Indian. He said, no, they were. I said, I'm a comic. He goes, you got any jokes for us then?
That's right.
I said, well, I've got one, but it's a little bit sensitive for this. He goes, no, because they were shotgun experts. This was years ago because of the IRA. And anyway, he goes, I said, okay, there's this guy walking through a part of Belfast and he feels a gun at the back of his head. And the guy goes, Protestant or Catholic? And the guy goes, oh, I'm a Muslim. And the guy goes, oh, I must be the happiest Jew in Belfast.
Classic. Jeez. I went to a pub there. Sorry, I'll let you
Belfast?
Go. In Belfast. And they said, this is the most famous pub in Belfast. You know why? I said, why is that? Thinking that it's got the best.
Oh, you too played there?
Yeah, it was the best chicken, best beer. Yeah. Best. Been blown up more than any other pub.
Great.
Awesome. So, you know, here's someone go to the toilet and make a bit of noise and you think, shit, is it happening?
It's going off.
Interested in new books? Subscribe to Chapter One. Chapter One is a new podcast with me, Nellie Thomas. Each episode, you'll hear the first chapter of a new release book from top publishers. Subscribe and listen to Chapter One, a new podcast with me, Nellie Thomas. Search for Chapter One where you're listening now.